I'm not going to be expounding this text for you this evening. What we are doing is starting what I would call a major series in this letter of Paul to the Ephesians. And it's actually going to be a long series. I'm not going to take big chunks. I'm actually going to look at it practically, verse by verse. Now, don't worry, it doesn't mean that for years we'll be in Ephesians. What it means is that we'll first do the first 14 verses, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and do some more verses, and we'll work our way through Ephesians. But it is important for us to do this. Mike and I have been discussing this series for quite a long time, and we decided between us, let us do it in a detailed study rather than do big chunks. And the reason for this is that this is a letter that is particularly rich in teaching. There is a huge amount of teaching in this letter, and we thought we would be doing it an injustice if we took a big chunk and did a kind of a surface approach to a passage. Instead, I think we need to look at the teaching of this passage or this letter in great detail. So this is going to be a verse-by-verse exposition of Ephesians. What I want to do this afternoon is to give you an introduction, an overview of this letter, and I hope this will whet your appetite. I hope you're not going to say, oh, this is going to be rather tedious, I think I'll give it a miss. But I hope you say to yourself, I must go and listen to this, because it sounds thrilling and exciting. And please, I assure you, it is thrilling. This is a thrilling letter. This letter was written to encourage Christians. It was written to instruct Christians. It was written to build Christians up in their faith, that they may live holy lives. Now, surely we all need instruction and encouragement and edification that we might live holy lives. Well, that was why Ephesians was written. So as I say, this afternoon I'm doing an introduction, and then next week I will begin to look at the passage verse by verse. Let me ask this as a first question. What is Ephesians about? What is it that Paul is saying in this letter? And the answer is simply this. Ephesians is a letter that instructs us on the doctrine of salvation. This epistle is about salvation, about the work of God in saving us, about the work of God in bringing us out of darkness into His marvelous light, about the work of God in granting us forgiveness for our sins and giving us a sure hope of heaven. Now, the thing about this letter is that it is looking at our salvation from a heavenly perspective. You know how sometimes you look at something and you look at it from a human perspective. Perhaps you go for a walk on the pier, and you're looking at the pier, and you're looking at the borders around and the cafe in front and the water. But if you're a young person who is savvy with technology, and I'm not, and you have a drone with you. And have you ever seen this? These people have a drone, and as they stand there, they have their phone, and they have the drone, and they send the drone up something like 20 meters into the sky. And then they look at their phone, and I sometimes look over people's shoulders because I'm fascinated by this. And what you are seeing is the drone is taking a picture of the whole pier. So you're looking at the pier, not from your perspective, from where you're standing, but the drone is up there 20 meters high, and it's giving you a perspective of the pier. It's very, very fascinating. So I guess you would see the whole of the pier and the building at the end and all the surrounding areas, but from a completely different perspective from up above. An eagle-eye view, if you like. Well, this is what Ephesians is. Ephesians is God explaining to us what He has done in saving us. And Ephesians is God saying to us that your salvation began before the creation of the world. Before God created anything. Before He created the universe with all its planets and stars. Before He created this earth with plant life and animal life and human beings. Before He created anything, God planned your salvation. and all the steps that he took in planning your salvation and then in bringing it about, in carrying out that plan. Ephesians explains that. So this is what Ephesians is about. The second question then I want to ask is this. What are the major themes of this letter? What are the major themes of Ephesians? Well, I have four major themes that I want to bring to your attention. And those four themes will guide our exposition of this letter. Ephesians teaches us four things. It teaches us in the first place that our salvation is a great salvation. Our salvation is a great salvation. Do you know, friends, one of the reasons why we don't live lives of joy as much as we should, one of the reasons why we are not as effective in our Christian lives, in our witnessing, in our testimony and so on, is because we haven't grasped our salvation. We often see our salvation only from a human perspective. You know, if you were to say to somebody, how did you get saved? Now, a lot of people will say something like, well, I heard the gospel and I gave my life to Jesus. I heard the gospel and I invited Jesus into my heart. I heard the gospel and I invited Jesus to save me, or something like that. But you see, that's from a very human perspective. And it almost gives you the idea, nothing major happened here. You know, it was a minor thing, really. And I think people in the world, when they hear that, they almost hear, through their filter, they almost hear, I became religious. I decided I'll go to church. And I decided that I would clean up my life. And I decided I would do religious things. Because that's how it's almost presented. And so we present our salvation as if it's not really a massive thing. But Ephesians puts us right. And Ephesians says, your salvation isn't some minor matter. Your salvation is a huge thing. This letter tells us, as I've already explained, your salvation began in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Look what he says in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What a statement. He has blessed us not with some blessings, not with a few blessings, not with many blessings, but he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And then from verse 4 he unfolds that, he unpacks it. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Did you know you were the topic of conversation between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world? Did you know that? Did you know that before God created the universe, he spoke about you? He took your name. He spoke to his Son. And he spoke to the Holy Spirit. And there was a conversation. There was this plan. They planned salvation. The three persons of the Trinity. And they planned how this salvation would take place. So you have there this doctrine, what we call election in verse 4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless. He then goes on in verse 5. In love he predestined us for adoption. You've got two more major doctrines there. God has predestined your life. Why were you born to the parents that you were born to? Why were you born in the town or village where you were born? How come you were born in Britain in the 20th century? If you were born in Britain in the 20th century, how come you were? How come you live your life as you do? Now these things aren't random, they're not accidental. All these things have been predestined by God. And then he goes on straight in verse 5 to another doctrine, for adoption to himself as sons. Do you know, friends, if this week, if I can make a suggestion, just take that one word, adoption, and meditate on it. That God the Father has adopted you. Now, I know there are negative aspects of adoption, and we all know people who've adopted a child and then decided that they couldn't cope with the child and have given the child back to the local authority. Or even more sadly, people have adopted a child and then abused that child. And so the child has grown up in a terrible way because of their adoption and so on. I know all that. But we're not dealing with fallen human beings here. We're dealing with God. And the Father has adopted you. When the Father looks at you, He doesn't just say, oh, I think this is somebody I know. He says, my son, my child. We have been adopted into His family. And you notice how He goes on to talk in verse 7 about redemption. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. It's a passage that is packed with these doctrinal terms. Election, predestination, adoption, redemption, forgiveness of sins, and so He goes on. Because this is God explaining to us what He has done in saving us. And He is saying to us, your salvation is a great salvation. When God saved you, He gave you a huge gift, a massive gift, a great gift. And we are to study this, we are to unpack this gift. And we are to study it. We are to look into it. You know how sometimes, I'm sure I've used this illustration before, how sometimes we receive a gift. This happens to me with my children, because my children buy me gifts. And I must admit, sometimes I look at the gift and I think, exactly what is this? Will you explain to me what you've given to me and how I'm to use it? And they're very gracious. And well, we knew, Dad, you wouldn't know, but it will help you. And they explain to me what this gadget is that they bought for me. And it's a wonderful thing. The gadgets they buy for me are wonderful. They're not being, you know, techy. But they know, oh, Dad needs this gadget. And say, well, Dad, this will help you in this area of your life. You do this and you do this and it'll make your life so much better. And it does. But you see, you don't always understand the gift you've been given. But once you unpack it, you understand it, you look into it, you find the blessings it brings you. That is salvation. Salvation is this great gift that God has given you. Do you ever study it? Do you ever just say to yourself, oh, I believe in Jesus and I'm saved? Or do you say, my salvation is a huge thing. There are massive doctrines involved here, massive issues involved here. I must study them. I must look into them because they will help me. So the first thing that Ephesians teaches us is that our salvation is a great salvation. And I trust that as we look particularly at verses 1 to 14, we will see this as we look at these major words and what they mean. A second thing that Ephesians teaches us, it teaches us in the first place that our salvation is a great salvation. Secondly, Ephesians teaches us that our salvation is a work of God's grace. Our salvation is the work of God's grace. The word grace occurs again and again in Ephesians. And particularly in chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, Paul talks about the grace of God. Look very carefully at the first 6 verses. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Why did God elect you? Why did God predestine your life? Why did God adopt you into His family? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ redeem you? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ secure forgiveness of sins? These are the doctrines mentioned in this passage. Well, he says in verse 6, it is to the praise of His glorious grace. That's quite a statement. And when we come to it, I'll unpack it. But what he's saying is this. He's saying, I want you to understand that God has done all these things so that you understand the magnitude of His grace. You understand the greatness of His grace. You understand how great grace is. You understand how deep grace is, how wide and how high grace is. So our salvation is of the is by grace, and it is to show the glory of His grace, the beauty of His grace, the magnitude of His grace. Why? Because the whole of the Christian life is about grace. We are saved by grace. We are sustained by grace. And one day we will be in heaven by grace. And we will be in eternity in heaven by grace. It's all of grace. And do you know, the wonderful thing is, when you grasp what grace is, and many Christians, I don't think, really do grasp what grace is. But once you grasp what grace is, it's tremendously liberating. Because grace tells me that my adoption is not because of my works, but because of the grace of God. God has accepted me because of His grace. I'm not working to be accepted. I'm not always laboring to be accepted. I'm not always hoping that God will be pleased with my actions and He will accept me. He has accepted me. I'm not working for adoption. I'm not doing good things in the hope that God will adopt me. He has adopted me. I'm not working for a place in heaven. I'm not doing good things in the hope that I will enter heaven. My place in heaven is guaranteed. It's all of grace. You see, it liberates you. It liberates you from works to love. And so love gives rise to works. That's how the Christian life works, you see. We don't work in order to earn God's love. We work because we have God's love given to us by grace. Love and grace liberate us to live lives for Christ. So it doesn't lead to carelessness. If a person leads a careless life, it shows they've never understood grace. Grace leads to holiness. There's a passage in Titus chapter 2 where he says, when the grace of God appeared, it brought salvation to people, and it teaches us how to renounce ungodliness and to live holy lives. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. Paul speaks there about the effect of grace. And this passage or this letter is full of grace. It's all about grace. I don't know if you ever read a group of people called the Puritans. If you don't, I can't recommend them enough. And a Puritan called Dr. Thomas Goodwin, and he'll see John Owen. Thomas Goodwin has written an absolutely wonderful commentary on Ephesians chapter 1 verses 1 to 14. Now, it's about 400 pages, just 14 verses of the Bible. And it is 17th century English, but if you can get hold of it, it is still in print, and work your way through it, you will see the blessings that it brings us, because Goodwin focuses on grace. It's all of grace, all of grace, all of grace. Tremendous commentary on the first 14 verses of Ephesians. So, what does Ephesians teach us? It teaches us in the first place that our salvation is a great salvation. It teaches us in the second place that our salvation is a work of God's grace. And then thirdly, this letter teaches us that our salvation was planned in eternity and revealed in time. It was planned in eternity and revealed in time. Why do I say that? I say that because Paul uses a particular word 5 times in this letter. And the word is mystery. Look at verse 9. Making known to us the mystery of His will. Do you see that word there in verse 9? Mystery. Making known to us the mystery of His will. And He uses that word more often in this letter than any of His other letters. And when we come to chapter 3, I have no idea when that will be. It will be quite a long way down. But when we come to chapter 3, He speaks about the mystery of God, particularly in the first 11 verses of chapter 3. And what He's saying there is that God planned our salvation, but He kept it hidden, as it were. He kept the whole plan of salvation under wraps. if you can think of it like this, that there was this plan that God had made, but he didn't reveal it straight away. It was kept under wraps. So right throughout the Old Testament, the people of God in the Old Testament had an inclination here and there. They had a kind of an idea here and there that God has made a great plan. But the details of the plan were kept hidden from them. So the saints of God in the Old Testament, godly people in the Old Testament, they loved the Lord and they worshipped the Lord, but they really were not made aware of the details of this great plan of salvation. And Paul, in particular, chapter 3 of Ephesians, says that he was given the privilege of removing the wraps. He was given the privilege of unveiling this great plan. He was given the privilege to explain to God's people this great plan of salvation. And he then was given this privilege of explaining to people, look, there was a plan from eternity. The Old Testament saints didn't see it in its fullness. They had an idea, but didn't see it in its fullness. And he says, I as an apostle have been given this great blessing that I explain to you the plan. I remove the wrapping and explain to you all the plan. You know how sometimes when they're planning a major development, perhaps a shopping center, and they invite the people and the plans are there under wraps, there's a sheet, and the person gives a little talk and he says, we're going to build a big shopping center and it'll be of great benefit to you. And then he removes the sheet and the plan is there, the sort of model is there. And he then explains it and says, so there will be a sports center here and there'll be car parking here and there'll be a cinema here and a gym and so on. And so he explains the whole plan. He unwraps it. And in a sense, that's what Paul says I'm doing. Paul says, this is a privilege that has been given to me, that there was this great plan under wraps. And the Old Testament saints, Moses and Isaiah and so on, could see bits of it. They could see the shape of it under the sheet. But Paul says, my great privilege, the great blessing I've been given, is that I remove the sheet and we see the whole plan. So it is a great theme of this letter of Ephesians that our salvation was planned in eternity and revealed in time. So what is it that the letter of Paul to Ephesians teach us? Well, I've said three things. It teaches us that our salvation is a great salvation. It teaches us that our salvation is a work of God's grace. Thirdly, it teaches us that our salvation was planned in eternity and revealed in time. And then fourthly and finally, Ephesians teaches us that our salvation leads to a godly life. Our salvation leads to a godly life. When you study Ephesians, and I hope you will read it and study it in the coming weeks as we look at verses 1 to 14. When you read and study this letter, you're reading a lot of doctrine. Praise God for that. Don't be negative about doctrine. Don't have a negative view of doctrine. Say, oh, theology. Theology is wonderful. God gave us theology. God himself uses theology. You know, words like election, predestination, redemption, adoption. These are God's words. God uses those words. So praise God for doctrine. Have a positive view of doctrine. And as you read Ephesians, the first three chapters, yes, you're going to read a lot of theology. But then if you look at chapter 4, will you turn with me to chapter 4? You notice a change of tone, a change of theme. And Paul says in chapter 4 from verse 1, I therefore as a prisoner of the Lord urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And from chapter 4 verse 1 all the way to the end of the letter, chapter 6, it's all how to live a holy life. It's very practical. This is a hugely practical letter. This letter will address how we are to use our words, how we are to speak to one another. You know, it is in this letter that he says that our speech is to be, spiced with grace. Grace is to be at the theme of all our words. It is in this letter he talks about how we are to be kindly considerate to one another, loving one another, accepting one another as God in Christ has accepted us. In this letter he addresses specifically wives. And he says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. He addresses husbands. And he says, husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church. He addresses children. And he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the first commandment with a promise. He addresses parents. And he says, fathers, bring up your children in the training and admonition of the Lord. Do not frustrate them. He addresses employers. He addresses employees. So you see, it's very, very practical. He comes right into the home and he addresses each member of the family. And he has very specific, very detailed instruction for each member. And he doesn't just finish there. He speaks about spiritual warfare. Perhaps the most famous passage in Ephesians is chapter 6 from verses 10 to 20, where he talks about how we are to put on the whole armor of God and how we are to fight against the forces of evil. Now this is not some theory. This is very, very practical. So Ephesians then is this letter that teaches us that our salvation leads to a godly life. So four things that Ephesians teaches us. It teaches us that our salvation is a great salvation. It is the work of God's grace. It was planned in eternity, revealed in time, and it leads to godly living. Now I hope that has whetted your appetite. I hope you say to yourself, well, I want to study this. I want to look into the greatness of this salvation. God has done something great for me. And I want to know what is this great work that God has done for me. Because if we neglect it, are we not in a sense dishonoring God? If God says to us, I've done something great for you, and I've given you a very, very great gift, are we not dishonoring God by saying, do you know, I'm not really interested in all this theology. My friends, God wrote this letter. The Spirit of God inspired Paul to write these words. These are important words. Do you remember as a little child, your father would speak to you. But he would use words that you didn't know. Because he was so much older, he had a wider vocabulary. And you were just 3, 4, 5 years old. So your vocabulary was very limited. But you loved your father. And you learned your father's language. You learned those words that he was using. Because you wanted to understand your father. You wanted to obey your father. You wanted to speak to your father. You wanted a relationship with your father. And so as we grow up, our vocabulary expands. And so we can talk with our parents in the language that they speak. And we can use the words that they speak. We don't say to ourselves, well, my father uses big words. I don't know what these big words are. I'm not going to bother with big words. You don't think like that. Well, our Father in heaven uses words like election and predestination and adoption and redemption and sanctification. These are words found in this letter. And I say this to you, we honor God by learning His vocabulary. We honor God by saying, God has used these words, my Father has used these words, I will learn what they mean. So that my fellowship with Him is a deeper, richer, joyful fellowship because of these great things that He has done for me. So that's an introduction to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We will begin studying this next week from verse 1 and make our way through this first passage of the first 14 verses. I encourage you to read them. I encourage you to get hold of other books that will help you to understand them. If you need help, let me know. I can recommend commentaries to this book.